All right, Luke chapter number 15, the Gospel of Luke chapter number 15. Luke chapter number 15, and if you find a place there and you want to stand with us, you're welcome to do that. We'll read verse number 3 down through verse number 7 and preach for just a few minutes today. Out of that passage of Scripture, Luke chapter 15, verse number 3 says, "And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. And I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Father, help us tonight in your word, we pray in Jesus' name, and amen." You can be seated. The past few weeks I have been preaching on these Sunday nights on the parables of Jesus Christ. A few weeks ago we looked at several parables that are grouped together in Matthew 13, and that group of parables was what was known as the parables of the kingdom. They're called the parables of the kingdom because they all begin with the phrase, "The kingdom of heaven is like," and we talked about those parables. Well, in Luke 15 we have again another grouping of parables. These are what is known in Luke 15 as the parables of lost things. There are three parables in Luke 15. We are well familiar with all three of them. And each one deals with something that is lost and something that is found. And these three parables teach, Jesus teaches us a principle from three different points of view. In fact, when Jesus told the story of the lost sheep and the lost silver and the lost son, certainly everyone in the crowd that day could understand and feel what it was that he was teaching. I would imagine that there were men and boys in the crowd that knew what it was like to lose a sheep. They had been there. They had done that. They knew what it was to lose a sheep and go out and find it. I would imagine that there were women in the crowd that could feel the heartache of this woman that lost this precious coin that was so valuable to her, and so she sweeps her house until she finds it. And I could imagine that there were parents in the crowd that would feel and understand how hard it would be to have a child rebelliously leave home. In fact, there may very well be some in the crowd that were those rebellious children that left home. So there was something in every one of these parables for each one that was listening in at that day. And I thought about tackling all of these parables together at one time, but instead I decided that we would approach them one by one. Doing it that may make each sermon just a little bit shorter, but I don't know of anybody that is upset at a little shorter sermon. And so we'll do it that way. Tonight I want to preach on this thought, the parable of the lost sheep. The parable of the lost sheep. Look at it three different ways with me, please. First of all, I want you to notice the foolish sheep. The foolish sheep. Verse 4 says, "And what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it?" In our story, we read about a sheep that wanders from its fold. The sheep in our story wanders away out of foolishness. Now, I am not a shepherd. I do not claim to be. But I have read and I have heard that sheep have a natural tendency to wander from the flock and wander from the fold. That is why it is so important that sheep have a shepherd that can protect them. Because for a sheep to get away from the fold means that that sheep is in a place of great danger. I thought about it this way. A sheep that is away from the fold is in danger of eating the wrong things. Sheep don't know the difference between a poisonous plant and a healthy plant. They'll eat them both the same. For that reason, the good shepherd, according to Psalms chapter number 23, leads them in the green pastures, those places that it is safe for them to dwell and safe for them to eat, where they can feed safely and grow safely. That is the job of the shepherd. The sheep is in danger of eating wrong things if it gets away from the fold. The sheep is in danger of being attacked by an enemy if it gets away from the fold. Sheep do not have a natural defense mechanism. Do you know that? They do not have sharp claws. They do not have poisonous venom. They are not fleet of foot. They are not very fast. The only defense mechanism for a sheep is the shepherd. The shepherd is the defense against harmful animals. A sheep away from the fold, a sheep away from the shepherd is a sheep that is in danger of being attacked and harmed by an enemy. You remember that it was the young David that protected his flock. And he said, I killed a lion and I killed a bear. David, as the shepherd, was the defense mechanism for those sheep. So a sheep away from the fold could eat the wrong thing. It could be attacked by an enemy. A sheep away from the fold is in danger of harming themselves. I read this story. I read it again this week. It's almost comical, but it's very sad. In 2005, the BBC, as well as Fox News and several other networks, ran a story about a Turkish sheep disaster. You maybe have heard the story. The story that says in Fox News that while a group of shepherds in Turkey were eating their breakfast, one sheep wandered away from the fold. And when that one sheep wandered away from the fold, the rest of the sheep followed it. They followed that wandering sheep right up to the edge of a cliff where the sheep literally jumped to its own death. And following that sheep, 1,500 other sheep jumped off the cliff. Only 450 of them died. Thankfully, the rest of them landed on a fluffy wool pillow, I guess you could say, and they did not die. But because of one wandering sheep, 1,500 sheep jumped off the edge of a cliff. Without a shepherd, sheep are not only in danger of being harmed by an enemy, but they are in danger of being harmed by themselves. Therefore, when a sheep leaves the fold, they are prone to placing themselves in danger. They're in danger to the enemy. They're in danger to thorns and rocks. They're in danger of eating something wrong or even starving to death. They are safest when they are with the shepherd. Now, I think that there are two things worth mentioning at this point. First of all, I think it's worth mentioning who it is that this parable is talking about. We read a parable, we always have to consider who is being pictured in the text. I think it comes as no surprise to you that the shepherd represents Jesus Christ, and so the sheep represents you and me. Are we okay with that? I would imagine that when the group of Pharisees came to Jesus at the beginning of this day, in fact, if you read the first two verses, you'll discover two groups came to Jesus this day. In verse 1, a group of sinners came, and in verse 2, a group of religious people came. I would imagine that the Pharisees in the crowd had no problem accepting the fact that a lost sheep pictured someone that strays away from God. In fact, I can see one of those uppity-up Pharisees as they listen to this parable, and Jesus said, what of you would have a sheep that goes astray and he'd go after him? And I can see a Pharisee cut eyes at one of those sinners and say, he's talking about you. He's talking about you. You dirty, rotten sinner, that's you. You're the one that's drifted away from God. And can I say, along with the Pharisee, I have no problem with that. The sinner is pictured as a sheep that goes away from the shepherd in the fold. Isaiah said in Isaiah 53:6, speaking of the sinner, all we like sheep have gone astray and turned to our own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Isaiah compared a lost sheep to a lost sinner. The lost man or the lost woman, they are pictured as this lost sheep, and they are in danger away from the Savior. May I say that the lost individual, the lost man, the lost woman, the lost boy and girl. They are in danger tonight away from the Savior. They are in danger of the judgment of God, and they are in danger of hell itself. They are in danger away from the shepherd. But the Pharisee would have had a hard time accepting this next thought, and that is the fact that not only is the lost sinner pictured by this sheep, but I believe the straying saint is also pictured by this sheep. I believe that the sheep, let me say it this way, and y'all come with me for a minute. The sheep was part of the fold before they left the fold, okay? They were there, they were in, they were part of the group, and then they left. The silver in the next parable belonged to the woman when she lost it. It was hers. In the third parable, the son was a son before he left home. He was a son when he left home, and he was a son when he come back home. He was a son from the beginning. He always was a son. Therefore, I think I could say to you that I see a picture of the straying believer in this sheep. Now think about this with me. A straying believer is in danger of harming themselves, harming someone else. They may not eat the right things. They may not go the right places, do the right things. When they get away from the shepherd, they are in danger of hurting themselves and hurting someone else. You think about our Lord. Our Lord is a loving shepherd. He is the good shepherd, the great shepherd. A shepherd's responsible for leading and feeding and keeping. And you know what God has done for you and me? God, the good shepherd, gave us a book of instructions. And this instruction book says, let me tell you where the danger's at. Let me tell you where the poisonous plants are. God has given us a book of instructions. Says, go here, don't go there. Right? Am I right or not? God has given us pastors to lead us, and hopefully the under-shepherds where they can say there's danger there, there's danger there. Maybe He could feed us and show us the right places to feed. God has given us the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit, oh, if you've got Him inside, you've heard Him from time to time. And He said, no, don't do that. No, don't say that. No, don't hang around that person. There's danger there. Do you know what that is? That is our good shepherd. The good shepherd says, don't go there. Don't get involved in that. Be careful around that person. You see, God knows where the enemy is. God knows where the harmful things are. He knows where the danger is located. Psalms 23:2 said, He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He knows where the waters are too rough, where they would sweep you away and cause you danger. God is leading us as His sheep. Amen. Now I want you to notice something with me. If this sheep pictures a straying believer, then I have to ask the question, what is it that causes this sheep to wander away? What is it that causes this sheep to wander into danger? Now, I get the impression in the story of the prodigal son that it is willful rebellion that causes that boy to leave home. I think you would agree with me there. That boy got full of himself and he decided he was going to do some things that he knew wasn't quite right, but he's going to do them anyways. It was willful rebellion that caused that son to leave home. But in the story of the sheep, I don't get that impression. Instead, I get the impression that the sheep, he just simply wandered away from the fold. It didn't mean to get lost. It didn't mean to end up in danger. Here's what I think happened. I think it got distracted and it just wandered away. You know, there are many Christians that have done that very same thing. There are men and women that are in danger today. They have wandered away from the fold. They have drifted away from the shepherd. They didn't mean to. I believe, as sure as I'm standing here, I believe they didn't mean to. Not all of them did. They would have never meant to end up where they ended up. They'd have never dreamed to be where they are. They never planned to be. What? Let me tell you what happened. They just drifted in a few small things. They just drifted a little bit here and they drifted a little bit there. They didn't mean to. But because they got distracted and they just drifted a little bit. One day they woke up and they looked around and they couldn't find the shepherd anymore. They'd not been around the other flock for some time. And they look around and they're in a dangerous place. They're in a scary place. They're in a threatening place. They didn't mean to be there. They just kind of drifted there. You see, what the devil will do is he'll put a small thing in our life to get us to just kind of get away from the fold. And if he can get us to just take a few steps in this direction, he'll put another carrot out there that'll get us to walk a few steps more. And before we realize it, he takes us from a small place to a worse place to a dangerous place. Oh, we're not willfully rebellious. We didn't just wake up and shake our fist at God and say, I'm getting out of church. I'm getting into sin. I'm getting away. No, we just drifted a little bit. That's why I call it the foolish sheep. He's not willful in his rebellion. Drifted a little bit. I see the foolish sheep, number two. I told you I wouldn't preach long and I won't. I not only see the foolish sheep, but I see the faithful shepherd. I see the faithful shepherd. Verse 4 says, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 90 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders rejoicing. According to our story, when the shepherd discovers that one of his sheep that he is responsible for is lost, he leaves the sheep in a safe place and he goes out looking for the wandering sheep. In Bible days, in this day, a shepherd was responsible for the sheep that he was to look after. And a shepherd might go out and search for that sheep because he knew that if a sheep just wandered from the fold, he would have been financially responsible for that. He'd go find it because he'd have to pay for it. Lost one of the sheep. Jesus, however, if he is the shepherd, and he is in our text, Jesus does not go out looking for the wandering sheep because it is going to financially cost him some way, somehow. Instead, our Lord said this in John chapter 10, verse 11 and following. He said, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling is not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not. He seeth the wolf cometh and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf scattereth them and catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he's a hireling and careth not for the sheep. Oh, but I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep and have known of mine. You see, our Lord says he is not a hireling. He is not doing this for the pay, nor is he doing it for the glory. He is doing it because the sheep belong to him. He loves them and he cares for them. He uses that personal pronoun, my, in verse number 14. I know my sheep. And then he uses the word mine in verse 14. He does not go out and look for the wandering sheep because it would cost him financially. He goes out and looks for the longing sheep because it belongs to him, because it is his, and he loves it dearly like his own. And so he goes out and searches, and he searches, and he searches because he loves the sheep, because he is the good shepherd. Oh, of course, the symbology is clear. He is the shepherd, and we are the sheep. We read it this morning, Psalms 100, verse 3. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Therefore, as the loving shepherd, he's concerned when you get away from the fold. In fact, allow me to make that a little more personal. He is concerned when I get away from the fold. And you could say the same thing. Put your name right there. He's the good shepherd. He is concerned about you. In fact, I don't know if it happens this way, Brother David, but I would imagine That when a sheep begins to wander away, alarm bells go off in heaven, and God says, no, no, no. I've got to go find them. I've got to go get them. I've got to bring them home. And God, as the loving shepherd, goes out searching for that lost sheep. You say, how does he do that? I'll tell you how he does it. He goes out looking for the sheep by the way of conviction. You ever drifted a little bit away from God and the Holy Spirit show up at your house and say, now wait a minute. Wait a minute. Something's not right here. And that indwelling Holy Spirit begins to churn and move inside of you and begins to say, don't, no, no, you're going in the wrong direction. You need to come back. You need to bring it back. You need to make it right. He does it by loving reminders, does he not? Every once in a while, God will just drop you a love letter. He'll send you a song. He'll send you a word of encouragement. Like with Ruth, he'll send you a handful on purpose. And it is the shepherd saying, come back to me. You have drifted. Come back to me. I still love you and I want you. Come back home. Yes, he does that. I believe that God is wooing us and drawing us way back to himself. He is leaving the 99 and he's going out and finding you because you belong to him. And let me say this. Let me say that by leaving the 99 and going out looking for the one, he is not saying that that one sheep is more important than the rest of the sheep. But what he's saying is this, every sheep is just as important as every other sheep. Amen. And he may be looking for you tonight, but he'll come looking for me, and he'll come looking for you, and he'll come looking for you. Because he's the good shepherd. Amen. I'm just using my imagination. I could be wrong. I don't think I was a sheep in a former life, so I can't speak to this. But I wonder, you know, we see this from the shepherd's perspective, this parable. Nothing said about the way the sheep feels. In the parable of the son, we understand how the son feels. He's hungry and he's alone and he's brokenhearted, remorseful. But we don't understand how the sheep feels. But I wonder if the sheep didn't feel alone and scared. I wonder if it didn't feel hungry away from the shepherd. But then I wonder, I'm just imagining Brother James, but I wonder if that sheep alone and afraid and hungry, I wonder if there wasn't a flutter in its heart, a little bit of excitement, a quickening to its pulse when it heard the voice of the shepherd coming through the wilderness looking for it. Hey, give him that call. Where are you? I'm looking for you. Lost one, come back home. Boy, I wonder if something didn't flutter inside of the heart of the sheep when he heard the voice of the good shepherd that did not forsake him and did not leave him, but came that familiar voice that was heard in his ear. I'm looking for you. Come back home to me. Joy of hearing the shepherd's voice. Oh, the peace of being in his presence again. Oh, the protection of being put on his strong shoulder and being brought back into the fold. Oh, the joy of that day. I see the foolish sheep. I see the faithful shepherd. Number three, I'm out of here. I see the friend's shout. I see the friend's shout. Verse number 6 says, and when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. Amen. And I say unto you, likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. Moreover, 99 just persons which need no repentance. Our story ends with the shepherd finding the sheep, placing it on his strong shoulder and bringing it back home rejoicing. Notice the way the story ends. The story ends by the shepherd calling his friends, and they rejoice with him over the lost sheep that has been found. There are two applications. The first is obvious because it is in our text. Jesus says that heaven rejoices over one sinner that is saved. When one straying saint returns, I believe heaven rejoices. Amen. Now here's something interesting. I am not sure what all they're aware of in heaven tonight. I don't know what all they're aware of in heaven. well, as far as what's going on down here on the earth. But I do know this. I know that Ephesians, or not Ephesians, but Hebrews chapter number 12, verse 1 says, "Wherefore see so great a cloud of witnesses." Speaking of those Old Testament saints from chapter 11, the heroes of faith. Abel and Abraham and Noah and Jacob and Joseph and so on and so forth. And the Bible says in chapter 12, verse 1, we are compassed about that great cloud of witnesses. To witness means that they're viewing, they're witnessing something. And Jesus says in our text that when one sinner repents, when one comes back home, all of heaven rejoices. I wonder when an individual walks an aisle and they give their heart to the Lord, or they return back to the fold. I wonder if the shepherd doesn't make an announcement in heaven. I wonder if an announcement doesn't go to the PA system of heaven that says, "Attention, good news, good news. Another one has come back to the fold." And I wonder if heaven doesn't break forth and rejoice. I'd like to imagine that they do. Oh, the good news of a sinner making it right with the Lord. But there's another application. I believe it is the application of the fact that you and I should rejoice when a sinner comes to the Lord. I believe that, don't you? I believe we should rejoice. I believe when a sinner gets saved, we should be so thankful. We should rejoice with them. We should hug their neck, tell them we're going to be praying for them, shout them on. Amen. And we do. Let me tell you what else we should do. When a straying sheep finds its way back to the fold, with the same thrill in our voice and shout on our lips, we should say, "Praise the Lord, they've come back home." Not, "I wonder if they'll do it again. I wonder if they mean it this time." No, no, no. When they come back to the fold, we say, "Praise the Lord. That which was lost has been found." That's what the dad says in the last parable. "My son which was lost was found. That which is dead is alive." Hey, we ought to rejoice and shout and say, "Hey, praise the Lord. They've come back home." I would want somebody to shout, "Brother James, if it was me." Oh, the friends shout. As the sheep comes home, the choir of heaven rejoices, and the saints on the earth should rejoice along with them. Our friend has come back home. Let's give a minute for invitation tonight. I'm done. I told you I wouldn't preach long. I'm done. I wonder as we wait for a moment if there's somebody that needs to come pray. Is there someone that needs to come pray? If you do, now's your opportunity. We'll pray with you. We'll shout with you. We'll cry with you. Whatever we need to do.